must change. The rhetoric they speak is all the same. The men behind the curtain and the illusion they create. Pull the puppet strings and steal our fate. Watch yourself around me. I'm trying to live free. Push too far, we will strike. Like a snake coiled up in the night. Watch yourself around me. I'm trying to live free. Push too far, we will strike. Where the power structure lies, fight amongst ourselves as freedom dies. The only hope for humankind lies in solidarity. The strength in our numbers sets us free.
You can handle the truth because more and more of you are coming and listening to the show every week. Many of you listen to the show live. Many, many more listen in the archives. You are listening to the TNT radio show, Thursday Night Truth, on the My View Matters radio network. The date is Thursday, February 21st. Almost slipped there. Thursday, February 21st, 2013. And this is your host, Dale the Truth, on the My View Matters radio network. We opened up the show there with Don't Tread on Me by the Sons of Liberty, one of our favorite bands that we like to play here, not of the neocon persuasion, but guys who had the balls to tell it like it is. And I maybe I was a little less than prepared for when the song ended, because I was sitting here laughing out loud, if you will, at some neocon websites and some neocon blogs and some of the weirdest, stupidest shit that they put up on their Facebook pages. I figure if the neocon county party likes to stalk my Facebook page, it's only fair game that I go and look at the crap and the vitriol that they scoop out on their pages. So that's what I was doing. So we appreciate you hanging with us in there. As always, if you want to call in, the numbers, as usual, are across the country, 858-683-1326, or in the Louisville, Kentucky metro area, 502-805-0334. As always, we will start out with this date and this week in history. As you may know, tomorrow will be the birthday of George Washington. 1732, date of birth for George Washington, tomorrow on February 22nd. We don't celebrate this fabricated bullshit holiday President's Day that was created at the beginning of this week. We celebrate George Washington's birthday, which was not Monday, but it's tomorrow, Friday, February 22nd. We do celebrate the founding father of our country, George Washington. And on this date, in 1871, also very important to point out, on this date in 1871, the U.S. Congress acted to turn the United States into a corporation. And that's what we have mentioned on past shows about. You had a constitution for individuals and you had a constitution for corporations, and they tried to turn this country, and successfully so. Bad news for us, good news for them, I guess, for the globalists that control us. But turning the country into a corporation on this date in 1871. We move forward to 1905. This is a good one. Not. This week in 1905, the U.S. Supreme Court declared that compulsory vaccinations were legal. You notice we did not say that they were lawful, but legal. This week in 1905, your U.S. Supreme Court ruling that compulsory vaccinations are legal. And finally, I think the very most important one, this one just goes back 63 years. Maybe some in our audience can remember back 63 years. This one goes back to this week in 1950, when banker James Paul Warburg was giving his speech to the U.S. Senate, and he proclaimed that we would have world government. He proclaimed to that sitting body of legislators that we would have world government, whether it be by consent or by conquest. The only question was whether it would be achieved by consent or conquest. James Paul Warburg was the son of Paul Moritz Warburg, was the nephew of Felix Warburg, and of Jacob Schiff, the family that financed the Russian Revolution. You see, they wanted us to have a world government without borders, without national sovereignty, without constitutions or privacy or autonomy, or individual liberties, or religious freedoms, or private property, or the right to bear arms, or the population out of control in their mind. They want a population reduction, so they don't want all these things that we want as part of the Patriot Movement. Unfortunately, in the United States, the establishment's goal of this New World Order is reaching fruition through complacent consent, and subversive conquest. Why do I say that? Well, in the United States, a constitutional republic is being plunged into a globalist world order facilitated by the placement of unscrupulous individuals who are deeply dedicated to the goals of these secret societies they belong to. We're no longer the land of the free and the home of the brave, where the land of the debted and indebted and beaten down and the home of the slave. People who merely think they are free live here. As we discussed on last week's show, they're much more worried about losing the comforts of their current cage than they are actually fighting for freedom. And we know the famous saying that none are more enslaved and manipulated than those who mistakenly view themselves as free, therefore rendering themselves exceptionally vulnerable. You see, consent using mass population management can be achieved by using the element of dialectics. If you go back to George Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel, he was a political and social scientist. If you go back to see the history of George Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel, he clearly defined his philosophical concepts that came to be known as Hegelianism. His ideas are still taught, and authors continue to elaborate on his philosophies, though inattentive Americans fail to acknowledge or even know who the hell I'm talking about. See, it goes like this. The philosophy which has dominated the Western world since the mid-19th century can be reduced to one tenet: ultimate peace coming through conflict. We've heard this one before, haven't we? That if we want peace, we have to fight for it. How ridiculous does that sound? But it proposes this clash between ideologies, theses, and antitheses as a normal historical phenomenon, which always will result in compromise that will advance to a higher level of order. Conflict, in other words, is good, and peace is not desirable. Trust me, the government already believes that it has the perfect solution for each problem. The government loves to give you crisis and solution or synthesis. They love to do this for you. They don't like when we reveal their secrets. They don't like when we talk about their criminal activity. I mean, it's amazing to believe the government can predict the pandemic arrival of avian flu and if a war is on the horizon and if we should preemptively nuke Iran. And these things are amazing to read about, but they have it all down. They know the problem, solution, they know the crisis, the synthesis. They've got it all worked out. And that's just a little bit on a sidebar off of what banker James Paul Warburg told the U.S. Senate in 1950 this week, that we would have world government. It would either be by consent or by conquest. Now, moving forward, I wasn't sure which direction to go first. Because like I said, I was reading the neocons' web pages, and I was reading the neocons' blog before I came on the air tonight. So I guess I'll start there. Because one gentleman who we won't name his web page to give him the free publicity, because he's not paying for an advertisement, so why to give him the free publicity? But he is a trial attorney up in Northern Kentucky, and he's been a failed politician before, and he loves to rip the Tea Party types. And some of you already know who I'm talking about. Some of the hundreds that listen out here live and on delay and thousands ultimately know who I'm talking about. But this is a guy who worked his way all the way up to almost the top of the Republican Party of Kentucky. And he writes a little blog. And in his little bulletin, if you will, he talks about Tea Party predictability. See, everybody likes to put labels on themselves, and Tea Party is a label, but the first thing that you've got to remember is the renovation, the recreation, if you will, the reincarnation of the Tea Party name goes back to 2007, goes back to December 2007, and at that time, December 2007, was truly, truly the origins of the new Tea Party, if you will. Because what happened in December of 2007? Well, to celebrate the Boston Tea Party, you had Ron Paul had a political fundraiser underway. And Ron Paul set all kinds of records later on after the fact for online fundraising. Well, see, the internet is out there. The internet is out there so we can record and remember and document real history. So you can't hide this crap, because that's all you have to do is go back to December of 2007 and see that's when the Tea Party really got started. So, back to modern day. Well, this gentleman writing in his bulletin talks about how the Tea Party is tearing up the Republican Party, but alas, he also had to admit, the same gentleman also had to admit to an article written in our own Dead Tree newspaper here in Louisville, sometimes known as the Courier Journal, sometimes known as less favorable names. He also had to admit that there was a piece that ran, lo and behold, a piece that was written by a prominent Republican. And basically, this prominent Republican wrote a piece talking about how our country has changed. And our Republican Party has changed. Yeah, thank God the Republican Party is changing. You see, we're talking about somebody who doesn't like the fact that the Republican Party is changing, because they fought us tooth and nail in the conventions. But they're finally seeing the handwriting on the wall. They finally are reading the tea leaves, pun intended. Because the GOP is not our father's GOP anymore. And to that I say, thank God, if you believe in God, or thank any higher entity that you want to thank. But the GOP is not your father's GOP. And that's the reason we have people on the executive committee pissing their depends, and otherwise soiling their adult diapers, because they cannot stand liberty getting into the party. See, liberty doesn't give you homeland security. Liberty doesn't give you bigger government, and it's called kinder and gentler and compassionate conservatism. That's not liberty. That's not what liberty is about. So when they criticize people like our friend Thomas Massie, we were very proud to campaign for Thomas Massie, and we don't hide our bias here. This isn't like over at the Courier Journal where they don't want you to know where their reporters or where their news people are coming from. It's out there. We know what they believe. We know what the people at the Courier Journal believe, but they want to have some kind of cover of darkness. They don't want you to know that they really like that, even though we know that they're very far left-leaning, if you want to use that false left-right paradigm. But see, Thomas Massie wasn't afraid to vote against House Speaker Boehner. You see, Thomas Massie was not afraid to take the initiative on things like hemp and things like the Fed, and how we need to do something, not just audit the Federal Reserve, but hell, we need to do what Dr. Ron Paul said in his book, and end the Fed. That's what we ultimately need to do. But these people are called unconventional Republicans, and they're not like the old Republicans. And to that, I still say thank God that they're not like the old Republicans. Yes, Rand Paul is in the news a lot, and I'm very glad for Rand Paul that he can get the word out in the news. And we don't know what's going to happen between now and 2016. We know that people are talking about Rand Paul as a candidate for president, and we know he's also going to be up for re-election, supposedly, for U.S. Senate. So again, when you have these quote-unquote prominent bloggers, trial attorneys up in Northern Kentucky, prominent establishment Republicans, when they're coming out and telling us how the Tea Party's predictable and it's trying to divide the party and it's ultimately going to be the downfall and blah, 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 and all this shit, you know not to believe it. You know not to believe the hype. On a sidebar, I was glad to see that our good friend Ken Mulman got some press this week, too. And our good friend Ken Mulman, who does the show here on Sunday night, does the Liberty Unbridled show here, same channel, same time on Sunday night. Ken Mulman also was getting some attention up in Northern Kentucky where he lives. And that's because the newspaper up there was talking about the big inroads that the Libertarian Party is making. And remember, the establishment Republicans, they don't want us in the party. We can give you names, and we can give you names and numbers if you need them, and show you screenshots of where they said they didn't want people like us in the party, and people like Dale the Truth and his type could just go over to the Libertarian Party because they didn't want us in the Republican Party, you know, this big party of the open door. Well, the Libertarian Party is making inroads as well. So they're trying to get established in just about every county in the states. And I'm happy about that because the Libertarian Party originally had an objective, if you will, of getting congressional districts and getting parties started in congressional districts. And now they've kind of switched that because probably more and more people are joining the Libertarian Party, although you can't always trace that through your county clerk's office, whatever county you're in, because sometimes they'll mistakenly tell you that, oh, so-and-so, John Doe, registered as an independent, which we're all for independence as well. But if you don't write in Libertarian, sometimes that's not tracked. And I'm reading now from the Northern Kentucky section here of the Cincinnati.com webpage. And this is where they're talking about Libertarians elbowing their way into politics. New Libertarian Party chapters have started in the past 3 months in Campbell and Boone counties. And Libertarian numbers statewide have risen. Expect more Libertarian candidates on local and statewide ballots, said Eric Cranley of Burlington. He is chairman of the Libertarian Party of Kentucky. And up until now, like I said, they've been operating with leaders in congressional districts, and they fielded a handful of candidates against the characters otherwise known as Republican Democrats. And the Kentucky Secretary of State now lists 2,816 registered Libertarians. I'll say that again, 2,816 registered Libertarians, up from about 1,000 just 7 years ago. And that's where our good friend Ken Mohman, the Sunday night host here on the My View Matters Network, says that he thinks Kentucky has more Libertarians whom clerks, as I aforementioned earlier, incorrectly record them as other independents. And that's fine. They're finding their people, and they're trying to educate voters. And they do want to get on the ballots. But as some of you may know, it's not easy to get on these ballots. Because until a Libertarian candidate for president gets 20% of the vote in the state, Libertarians will have to keep leaping over these hurdles and climbing over these trees. And 20% would be the percentage that Kentucky requires for an organization to become a political party. So this is the reason that more inroads aren't made. A lot of times we'll hear it here on this network. What can we do? Why aren't people getting out and getting their word out? Well, I think they are. When you see that just the people who are registered Libertarian has gone from about 1,000 to 2,816 in 7 years, that's pretty big. And probably a lot of them went there because they got pissed off by the Republican Party establishment. When you go out to your caucuses and your district conventions and your state conventions, and you're the only person that shows up from your precinct of a few hundred people, and you're only one out of a few hundred to show up, and then they try to tell you that you're not loyal, and you're not a loyal enough Republican, we all know that's bullshit. We all know that's their way of their own little ethnic cleansing within the party. And I admire the... positive skepticism. David Capano of Newport is going to chair the Campbell County Libertarian Party, this article goes on to say. And I guess I admire the optimism would be the best way to say it, because he says, I hope that Libertarians and Republicans and Democrats can all share in a healthy discussion and to debate one another. And that's all that people want. People want another choice. If you didn't see from this past year's election, if you didn't see from this past year's general election that people did not want to have to choose between Tweedledee and Tweedledum, then you were living in a cave somewhere in Afghanistan. If you didn't see 2 years ago that people weren't crazy about their choice of either Papaw Steve Beshear or David Blackjack Williams for governor, if you didn't notice that people didn't like those two choices, then you were living in that same cave. Because the problem is there are lots of hurdles that people have to overcome to get on the ballot. And right now, Libertarian candidates must get 5,000 signatures to run for statewide office, like our good friend Ken Mohman did when he ran just 2 years ago. Hard to believe it's been 2 years now. When he ran 2 years ago for state treasurer, he had to get 5,000 signatures. So when you should be out there getting your message out, you're too busy collecting signatures. Instead of handing out flyers at local events and outside the right-of-ways and maybe at the flea market and the mall and any other public line between private property, instead of out there handing out flyers about your campaign logo or your campaign motto or what your top three issues are, you're instead begging people to sign a petition so you can just get on the damn ballot. And once you get the signatures, there's still no guarantee you stay on the ballot. As we saw back when our good friend Ed Martin, another co-host on the show, Ed Martin is on here on Monday and Tuesday nights with Ed Springsteen, and our good friend Ed Martin also ran on the Libertarian ticket. And our good friend Ed Martin was challenged. And who did they challenge him by? And lo and behold, who challenged Ed Martin? Well, they put out a lawsuit from the Jefferson County Republican Party, of course. And the names listed were one Cordell Lawrence Jr. and one Mr. Public Indecency, David Caldwell. And I say Mr. Public Indecency because his name had to be dropped from that lawsuit, if people remember back, because he got caught in a peculiar position of exposing himself at a public library. So, whoops, they weren't expecting that to stand in their way, but I digress. This is just showing you the hurdles that libertarians have to jump over in order to get on the ballot. They should be in the debates, not in the streets collecting signatures. They should be knocking on doors for votes instead of knocking on doors for signatures. So again, I'm very excited that the Libertarian Party is trying to get active in counties all over the state because there's a lot of work to be done. So when you have people writing articles or columns in the Courier Journal, when you have Republicans like Kathy Bailey writing, oh, the country has changed. And when you have these bloggers writing things like, oh, this is not your daddy's Republican Party, then that is when we really have a problem. And we go to the chat room tonight. They do mention, and I knew this was happening. I would have loved to have been there. But again, we bring this to the airwaves. Our good friend Ken Mohman was up here in Louisville tonight because they had a District 3 meeting tonight. I was also reminded that that lawsuit against our good friend Ed Martin was also filed illegally by an attorney named Vince Heiser. Surprise, surprise. And he filed it without a signature or knowledge of Mr. Cordell Lawrence. And, of course, Heiser was never held accountable by the bar for filing this illegal lawsuit. Surprise, surprise. So, again, and we're going to get to our bottom of the hour break here in a minute, but how has the face of the GOP changed? Well, in its first few months, we already mentioned that Thomas Massie voted against John Maynard for Speaker. He also said that he would consider supporting somebody who would run against McConnell. Massey also said that he would allow guns on school grounds. We already mentioned he supported the hemp initiative, and he has also proposed decriminalizing marijuana. So that is enough to pretty much make the dinosaur neocon Republican Party eat their youth and push themselves out into extinction. You're listening to the TNT Radio Show. This is Thursday Night Truth with your host, Dale the Truth, on the My View Matters radio network. And we will take our bottom of the hour break. And again, if you want to call in, the numbers as always, 858-683-1326, 502-805-0334, and we'll be right back.
I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. That was AC/DC with Problem Child. And we went into the break talking about some of the local inside baseball stuff with the Republican Party. And I promised that we would get to big national issue. Just shaking my head at this, because a big national issue that you probably didn't hear about on PMSNBC or fake fair and balanced Fox News or Clear Channel Radio. I really doubt that Big Mouth Rush Limbaugh was talking about this over there on the 50,000-watt blowjob torch WHAS. I rarely doubt that he talked about this, because I know the neocons don't talk about this. But this goes back to Tuesday, this past Tuesday, February 19th. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled in favor of police use of drug-sniffing dogs to carry out warrantless searches during traffic stops. That's right, the Supremes, the guys over there, the guys and gals, the nine of them that wear the black muumuus up on Capitol Hill, they said that police can use their drug-sniffing dogs to search your car without a warrant any old time they want during a traffic stop. You think this was a close vote? Hell no, it was not a close vote. This was a 9-0 decision. Let me say this again. 9-0 decision in the case of Florida v. Harris. Citing studies that raise serious doubts about the reliability and training of drug detection dogs, the Rutherford Institute had asked the U.S. Supreme Court to declare this practice of using drug detection dogs as the sole basis for their warrantless searches unconstitutional. And it should have been declared unconstitutional, because we got something in this country called the Fourth Amendment. If you people are not familiar with the Fourth Amendment, I will go over here to the bookshelf and I'll get a copy of the Fourth Amendment out. I didn't have this all dialed up here, so here we go. I want to read this to you folks. We're going to read to you the Fourth Amendment, the United States Constitution, part of the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments. It says, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall be issued but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or things to be seized. Did you hear anything in there about bring your damn dogs in and do this without a warrant? No, you did not. So there have been published scientific studies that show that drug dog alerts can be wrong as much as 56% of the time, and they're heavily influenced by the biases of the dog's handlers, because they basically have them search until they find what they want them to find. And I know what people are thinking. Well, I don't use any illegal drugs, so I'm not worried about that. This is your problem. This is why you don't have more people stand up against a statewide smoking ban here in Kentucky. It starts really simple like that. You can say, oh, I'm not a smoker, so I don't care if they do that. And my sidebar there is my state representative, Republican Julie Rocky Adams, co-sponsored this non-smoking bill to ban smoking publicly across the entire damn state. So take this back up to the national level, and people will say, well, if I don't use illegal drugs, I don't care what the police do in my car. Really, you don't care. As John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute said, this ruling undercuts the entire basis of the Fourth Amendment, which I just read to you folks. He said it was designed to protect us from unreasonable searches and seizures. When a dog sniffs, which has been proven to be unreliable, and is considered probable cause for police to search your property without a warrant, whether it's your home, your car, or your person, then this shows you that none of your rights are secure. You see, in June of 2006, a Florida County sheriff stopped a vehicle driven by Clayton Harris for an expired license tag. Do you want me to get started on license tags? How many of you out there are dumb enough to believe that your license tags make you a better driver. They don't test you again. They don't make sure your eyes are good again. They don't make you parallel park again. But you had to go get these tags to have the right to travel. Well, then you can't travel freely, can you? Because if you have to get permission and a note from Big Brother and Mother Government, if you have to get permission for them to do it, then you're not free after all, are you? And see, when Clayton Harris had an expired license tag in Florida, he wasn't a good sheep. He didn't follow in the right line that led him to the slaughter, so he had an expired tag. Hell, maybe he had the new tag in his glove compartment. Maybe he hadn't had time to put it on yet. Maybe he was on the way to get it when these police stopped him. But he refused the sheriff's request for consent to search his vehicle. And a drug detection dog was deployed and conducted a free air sniff of the exterior of the vehicle. And when the dog alerted to the door handle on the driver's side, the police officer conducted a warrantless search of the interior of the vehicle and allegedly found materials used for the manufacture of methamphetamine. And again, the gentleman denied the sheriff's request. He refused the demand of him to do a search of the car. Of course, he was arrested and charged. We understand that. But they had no probable cause. And he did not consent to the search. Harris had attorneys that moved to suppress the evidence found as a result of the search, saying that, of course, it violated his Fourth Amendment. At the suppression hearing, the state introduced evidence that the dog had gone through training and this dog was certified for dog detection. But, of course, they didn't produce any documentation showing records of false alerts in the past. In fact, Clayton Harris presented evidence that the dog had alerted to the same vehicle 2 months after his arrest, and a search found no illegal drugs. So this vehicle, maybe he shared it with somebody, or he left it with somebody else when he had to go and sit in a cage, and it was pulled over again, and they found nothing in it. But the same thing where the dog claimed, well, it must have been residue. Well, the trial court denied the motion to suppress, but the Florida Supreme Court granted the motion on appeal, ruling that the evidence the dog had been trained and certified to detect was not sufficient to establish the dog's reliability for purposes of determining probable cause. And now we fast forward to this year, this month, this week, where the U.S. Supreme Court voted 9-0 that they can use these drug-sniffing dogs to carry out warrantless searches during random traffic stops. Does that make you guys feel better now? Does it make you feel free? Does it make you feel like you're living in the land of the free and the home of the brave? Maybe this is why I never hear anybody say, it's a free country anymore. Maybe this isn't why I hear people say, it's the best country in the world anymore. And I don't deny it may be one of the best, but it's not as free as it used to be. And we'll be right back here after this.
Oh. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
advertisers. Here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
All right, and I think we went from the recorded Ed Springsteen there. I think we're going to go to the live Ed Springsteen. It's just Springsteen. What say you?
Hey, how are you, man?
Doing good. How are you?
You know, Dale, I think you set this show up just to piss me off and make me call in on your night.
I'm sorry.
And I
wasn't intentional.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, you're talking about the case of Harris and the Supreme Court ruling.
Yeah.
And one thing that nobody has even mentioned here or even put out there is, was this a case of profiling? And there's a reason I ask this question, because the case of Harris is very interesting. The first time he was pulled over and illegally, you know, searched, and I think it was an illegal search.
Yeah.
You know, Harris, they found nothing the first time, but the dog had hit on the driver's door. That was the whole thing. The second time he was pulled over was just a couple of weeks later.
Yeah.
And was searched again with the same hit on the driver's side door.
Yeah.
And I apologize, I got that backwards. The first time they hit illegally, and the second time they found nothing.
Right. Exactly.
But what's real interesting here is, you know, why was he pulled over just 2 weeks later? Is this a situation where the police were, you know, watching him and paying attention to him because of what they felt they did, got the information they obtained illegally the first time?
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, that's a good question, because the way I read the story, it wasn't written so I could – it wasn't guaranteeing me that it was him. It just said the same car was pulled over. So this is kind of like when you go through these areas where the government has these built-in speed traps and these built-in cameras. You may not even be the person driving the car, and – hell, I would always tell people, if they're going to try to charge your car with something, like parking illegally or speeding, I would just tell them that, hey, you don't have any proof that it was me driving that car. You just got the car. You don't know it was me.
Well, that's exactly it. And you know, that doesn't matter, because they're still going to hold you accountable to it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that's really going on right now. I mean, you know, as you know, we've covered this a little bit on my shows before. You know, I was arrested because of a situation that started with an illegal search and seizure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, on my son in my car. And, you know, it's really fascinating, because since then, you know, I noticed that there's police following me a lot when I go out anywhere. You know, my son is the same way. He's been pulled over twice since that night, just for stupid stuff. You know, they're pulling him over saying they observed him doing something that he didn't do. You know, if, for example, just 2 weeks ago or a couple of weeks ago, he was pulled over in our neighborhood, a nice quiet neighborhood. A cop decided he was going to pull him over and said he rolled through a stop sign in the neighborhood. It didn't come to a complete stop. you know, he had his brakes on, but he didn't come to a very complete stop. So they pulled him over. It's just harassment, pure and simple. And I'm wondering if that wasn't the case with Harris. However, the Supreme Court is allowing this to go on. So what we're going to see now is we're going to see a lot more arrests, illegal arrests, like they did with me. And I wasn't even involved in the situation.
Right. Well, that's what I mentioned, your story, because – my question is, this guy already told him, no, you don't have consent, so it's non-consent. So what would have happened if he tried to fight back against the officer? Then he would have been, I guess, had all kinds of extra charges added on, wouldn't he?
Oh, there would have been everything in the world. You know, if he would have tried to fight back against the officers.
Assaulting a police officer and, and persistent felon. And they would
assuming that he lived through it, because remember, we also had a story this week about a gentleman with Down syndrome who was sitting in a theater.
He was
thrown on the ground face first, and he died of a positional asphyxiation. And we also have another story, a video I put up on my Facebook page, actually, about a pregnant woman who was pulled over by the police. They didn't waste any time with her. She got out of the car as instructed, and they went over, tripped her, threw her down on the ground, and hogtied her. You know, I don't know if she lost a baby or not. I'm still trying to find out that one. But, you know, for doing nothing more than doing as instructed. So,
stop and searches, and we've seen them, you know, it used to be, especially if you go down the border towns down in Texas, if you go down there, they're further inbound than 30 or 40 miles, and they're where they're not supposed to be. Sometimes it's federal people, sometimes it's local police, but we knew that they were going to step up the efforts on the highways, because people aren't going to fly anymore. A lot of people, I haven't flown on a plane in a good 4.5 years because I don't want to put up with that TSA molestation that they put you through. So we already know that they figured, hey, if we can't get them at the airport, we better get them on the expressway. And we see there's more stops and searches. And for what? I mean, it's just like when they try to get you for speeding. If somebody is speeding, and then you and I have talked about this on the airways, Ed, about how maybe you're warning somebody up ahead about a speed trap. Well, if you got that person to slow down, weren't you doing what they wanted you to do? Wasn't that the key? Didn't they want the person to slow down, or did they only want to harass you and get revenue?
Well, in all honesty, I think it's really what it boils down to. I think it's all about revenue anymore. They're going to get it one way or the other. You know, it has absolutely nothing to do with following the law or anything else. These cities are trying to make their budgets based on whatever they have to. I mean, you think about it. It's almost like the old insurance thing. You deny all claims. You know, if you have somebody in health insurance, for example, they turn in all these fees for insurance claims and stuff. So as an insurance company, you deny every claim you've got and assume that 5% of those people sue you and you have to pay them. Well, look how much money you've saved. And that's ultimately what I believe is really going on here. You're going to hold everybody accountable to an illegal standard, and then you're going to see how many of us sue and what sticks and how much you can actually save in spending. And I think that's what they're doing to offset their costs. I really do. It's a travesty. I was going to say, it's just a travesty of what America is supposed to be. And what's more alarming than anything is the fact that these police are becoming so aggressive, since they know that they're not going to be held accountable, that they're acting like the Wild West, and they can do anything they want to do and get away with it. It's scary.
Well, another thing is, if you have local police doing these things, and I think traffic violations, they're such a trivial matter, and I don't even think it's a big deal, me personally, that the guy had meth in his car. I don't care if he had meth in the car as long as he's not, you know, endangering others or selling it to children or something. I don't care if the guy had meth in his car. But if you look at something as simple as parking violations, or maybe you parked somewhere and your parking meter ran out, or you got expired tags, these little stupid things, I think also the more people that fight it, the less likely that they're going to pull so many people over. Because I think if you get enough people, and they've proven this, my friends up in New Hampshire have proven this, so many of the folks I know up in the Shire, they have taken simple parking tickets to court and demanded trial by jury.
Well,
I don't know if you can do that in Kentucky, though.
Well, everybody's got the right to do that.
You've got the right to
a trial by jury. Sure you do.
Okay.
But
it's too easy to just pay it and go along your way because it takes a lot less time.
Well, it's easier, but it's also a lot cheaper in many cases. You know, for people to present a case in a court of law on their own is really hard to do because they make it so hard to do. I mean, you know, you're going against a seasoned prosecuting attorneys who know how to lie, cheat, manipulate the system. You have no clue what to object to or what the objections can be. I mean, you know, so then you get in a situation, if it's going to cost you $100, you know, plus court costs to get rid of a ticket versus spending $500 or better for an attorney to fight it for you. Well, I mean, from a cost perspective, it makes better sense to have somebody, you know, to just go ahead and pay the ticket. So, and I think that's exactly what they've done. They've done the analysis. They've done everything they can do. And they realize that the mindset of most people are that it's cheaper to pay the ticket than to fight it, so let's just go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
And they take advantage of that. They really do.
I mean, some areas, even some places, I don't know how it is here. Fortunately, I haven't had experience in it lately, knock on wood, but I know in many areas they even have like a little envelope attached, ready for you to send it right back in, because the last thing they ever want you to do is fight it.
Well, no, they don't. You know, and quite frankly, there's a lot of good judges out there. Now, I'm very, you know, with what I do every day, I'm very critical of quite a few judges. Mm-hmm. Certainly critical of the county attorney's office and the Commonwealth attorney's office. I think they do a lousy job, although I'm willing to give Tom Wine a little credit because he hasn't been here long enough. But, you know, there are some good judges out there. One of the best, you've got a Judge Cunningham right here in Louisville.
Yep.
You know, he does a good job. He was just chastised by the Courier-Journal, of course, you know, as one of judges who let a lot of DUI offenders off. But, you know, they only let him off because the state hasn't proven their case. The police haven't proven their case. So, you know, he's following the law, and he's very adamant about doing so, and I just think that's exemplary. You know, so you're going to have some local judges and things like that that are very good at that, but unfortunately you've also got idiots like the county attorney's office who likes to try to spend your tax money taking things about as far as they can take it. You know, right here in Louisville, you know, we've got a county attorney and Michael Connell, who is, you know, trying to proceed and waste the taxpayers' money against a case that I'm going to win when I go to trial next month. So, it's fascinating. He would rather spend thousands and thousands of taxpayers' dollars going to the Supreme Court because it's not costing him. He has no skin in the game and no money involved. It's not out of his pocket.
Well, yeah, that's why I lowered it down to something as simple and trivial to many people as a parking ticket. And I lowered it down to that because in some parts of the country, they have something that we call Robin Hooding, where if somebody hasn't paid their parking meter, someone else can come by and pay it for you and save you the government fee. But in other areas, they make that illegal.
Sure.
And I don't even get that, because if you want them to pay the park, I mean, just tell the truth. We want you to park in these spots, and we want you to forget how long you've been here so we can give you a big fine. That's what they really want. They don't want you to come out on time. So that's why I said I look to the Shire, because they've done this successfully up there, where these tickets can be as small as $5 or $10, but some of them up there, you can say maybe that, you know, that they have no lives or they have nothing better to do or need to get a hobby. But to me, I'd much rather have them in court fighting the ticket, the meter maid, than that meter maid out giving more tickets the next day.
Well, you got to understand, too, here in Louisville, for example, the Parking Authority of River City, the people that actually write your tickets on the meters here aren't government employees. It's a private organization contracted out of Georgia. So they go ahead and write the tickets. They collect the money for the tickets, and they share a portion of that with the city of Louisville. So, you know, that money isn't really going to us anyway. It's employing a private contractor in Georgia. They're the ones that are making the money. So, you know, we've got to really start looking at these things, and people don't really pay attention to any of that. You know, it's not sexy, you know?
No, but I also think that there's some credence to the fact that, just as, you know, we talk about how we're on a list and how we know you and I are probably on 12 or 13 different lists.
I know I am, yeah.
That's just within the Republican Party of Jefferson County. But you know, we talk about people being on a list, but I really do believe that you get enough of these cars that people know, maybe they see the bumper stickers. I think it can work in reverse. Yes, in one way, you might get hassled or harassed on the highway, but I think if enough people, this is why there's power in numbers. If you had, instead of, I don't know how many people will get tickets and challenge them in Louisville this week, but instead of it being two, what if it was 200? What if 200 people in Louisville this week said, I'm taking this ticket to court? What would they do? It would overflow their courts. I would love it, because then they would think, damn, now we don't have the meter maids out there because they're in here testifying before a trial by jury. And they would have to second-guess themselves, I think, about which one of these cars that they're going to ticket, because I think some of them, they're going to say, well, watch out for that guy. We know who that guy is. He's not going to be a willing sheep. He's going to fight us. It's just like with the guns. Why would you go after somebody that you think is armed if you're a criminal? You'd go after somebody that you know is not armed.
Well, and you're absolutely right. And, you know, in most cases, I mean, most people, I'm trying to figure out a good way to put this. Most people are realistic. Most people, when they get caught, they know they're caught. They're not going to have a problem admitting it. You know, they're going to go ahead, you know, you caught me. Oops, I screwed up. My bad. Okay? And they're going to go ahead and take their punishment. You know, the ones who are being set up, like my son with the illegal search on my vehicle and things when he was driving, you know, those guys are the ones we really have to worry about. Most people like me, if you pull me over because I was speeding, you know, I'm going to tell you I was speeding. Here's your ticket. You're right. I apologize. I was wrong. You know, and most people, I think, are like that. But then you want to pull over these guys. You know, it's like my son and the car I've got. You know, it's a car that you would profile. I mean, because he's got, you know, these nice-looking wheels on there, the dark-tinted windows, that kind of stuff, you know. And so it's one of those cars that you would profile as being a teenager's car. And because of that, he was pulled over, and that's what started all of this. He's been pulled over four or five times just because of the type of car that he drives, because they know that people like me are not going to do that. So I think profiling is one of the biggest issues we've got with all of this, Dale. And I think that ultimately, you know, most people like me and you really aren't going to fight a ticket, because we probably know we deserved it if we get it, you know, depending on what we're driving. But it's these younger guys,
the in-betweeners. I'm looking forward to fighting the next one again.
Well, I got news for you. I'm fighting everything from here out. This particular case here where they jeopardized my life when they arrested me was pretty alarming. And, you know, the police are no longer getting a free ride from me. You know, I've been very adamant about trying to support them. But when I'm seeing video out there of pregnant women getting thrown to the ground and hogtied without any cause whatsoever, when I'm seeing myself being illegally arrested and you know, getting apology letters from the chief of police who admits it but doesn't hold the officers accountable, you know, and then I'm seeing all these other things like the Harris case where he was profiled, getting pulled over multiple times in a two-week period. Yeah, we've got some serious issues, because this isn't just one city. This is countrywide. This is around the nation, and it's becoming more and more prevalent of aggressive, runaway, non-accountable police.
That's rogue behavior, and I've just you know, you and I have had a difference of opinion on the airwaves here, because I jokingly say that I didn't like the fact that it took this incident for Mr. Springsteen to come around to my way of thinking. But, you know, I you give the police officers the benefit of the doubt more than I do. But, it's truly getting to the matter of one day, if you don't have enough cops look out for the citizen, it'll be just like the lawyer joke about how 99% of them run it for the 1%. I mean, I've said this so many times. How many times do you ever see a video or hear an audio or hear a testimony where you have Officer Bob and Officer Jack, and let's say Officer Bob is out here in a local police department, he's beating the hell out of somebody. Mm-hmm. How often does it happen that Officer Jack says, gee, Officer Bob, you better stop doing that or I'll have to report you?
Well, you know, you're absolutely right, and that really is interesting, because
doesn't happen.
It's for me personally. I mean, I file charges. How many people actually file charges against an officer?
Hardly any.
When they're arrested, how many people have went through the standard operating procedures for Louisville Metro, for example, when they've been arrested, and make sure that they were treated fairly by the rules that these particular officers sign and agree to uphold? So,
yes. You
know, most people just don't want to take that time. So,
it's not worth their time, because they've got to, you know, and this is by design. This is why I said we had this argument about the school system. It's by design that you got to have every household now is either a single mother household or both parents working 3 or 4 jobs household. So you don't have time for the children or for protecting your rights, because people are still under the misnomer that the police are going to protect them. When we've seen that Supreme Court hearing of another time period that said they have no obligation to protect you. We're getting ready to go into overdrive here, Ed, and I didn't want to go there too much. Do you have any announcements before we head into our closing comments?
No, not really. I do have one clarification, though. A minute ago when I was talking about judges who were doing the right thing, I mentioned Judge Cunningham. I apologize. Judge Cunningham is one of those guys who I don't think needs to be on the bench because he hasn't got a clue. He's a party hack. It was actually Judge Armstrong that I was speaking of that deserves the credit for standing up for the people. So I just wanted to make sure I got that clear.
You actually gave credit to a judge. You wanted to retract that.
Well, yeah, I want to give credit to the right judge, because not all judges are the same, man. So, you know.
I appreciate that, Ed. We'll go into our closing rant here.
I appreciate your time, Dale. Thanks.
All right, thank you. So that was Ed Springsteen, ladies and gentlemen, checking in. And you know what? It's one of these things. This is what it all comes down to. If you're willing to just sit on your ass and sit on your couch and worry about your reality TV show or some other bread and circus, then they're going to keep taking the rights from you. They'll be glad to take the rights from you if you're not using them. They'll be glad to take their rights away from you if you're not using them. And on another closing sidebar, I do want to get in a one piece of housekeeping information here. Our good friends down at Take Back Kentucky, I've been down there a part of that group for well over a decade, and if you know anything about the work down at Take Back Kentucky, you want to go check them out, takebackkentucky.net. They're pro-Second Amendment, pro-private property, pro-hemp, pro-liberties, pro-sovereignty, pro-capitalism, and they got an announcement they just made. I was very, very upset when we got the news just a couple weeks back here about our good friend Norm Davis, my political hero, passing away from cancer, unfortunately, and it left a big hole for Take Back Kentucky, and everybody knew him and loved him as well, knew that it would be hard to go on, but he knows, and we all know, that he wants to continue that legacy. So it was decided that this past month, my good friend Adrian Gilbert, I believe she's down out of LaRue County. She's down there in the land of the oppressor Lincoln. Yeah, she's down there in the LaRue County area. Adrian Gilbert is going to be standing in and, I guess, being the official moderator now at Take Back Kentucky. So Adrian, I know, is humbled to continue Norm's work. She's never going to be Norm Davis, and she recognizes that along the way, but she is going to be taking over the helms of the moderator role down there at Take Back Kentucky. And we welcome you to get involved in that group or your local Tea Party movement or any of your 9/12 groups. You really got to stand up and realize when you got domestic drones overhead and you got stop and search and knock and talk and you have all these things that are totally anti-liberty, then you got to do something to stand up for liberty. And we prefer that's being done nonviolently. We don't want things to be done violently. That's what they want. They want it to be set up where they can say, hey, you had it coming. We believe in nonviolent resistance. And we believe that you have to learn your rights or you're not going to know what rights you have when you take them away. So at the end of the day, what are you going to do for freedom? Are you going to sit back? Are you going to be able to stand up at the top of the mountain and tell them all death to the New World Order? Have a good night, folks.
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.
Truth.